Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
What do self-sabotaging at sports, mice, fear of mice, the desire to just be held, a songwriter who's always broke, and a craving for alcohol at 5 p.m. have to do with one another? Well, they have to do with an amazing Cogno Movement practitioner. Her name is Sandra Nathan, and she is in the Kingston area of London. And today, together with my friend, Bill McKenna. Hey, Bill.
Hey.
We are going to hear a bunch of stories, miracle healings with an innovating healing model that we particularly love called Cogno Movement. And these are people that Sandy has seen over the last few years in real life. They're amazing stories, and I know that you will love to hear the outcomes of them because they are very interesting. Welcome, Sandy.
Hello, Bill and Liz. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Sandy, my gosh, there are so many stories that you have of working with people with just a variety of different things. And off camera, we were just talking about women with nose piercings.
Yes.
And there was a gentleman that seemed to really be very attracted to a man who was very attracted to these women. So can you tell us that first story about that?
Yeah, I certainly can, Bill. Yes, it was really interesting. Well, this gentleman came to me because he couldn't understand it, but he kept, despite having a happy marriage, a beautiful wife, two beautiful children, he felt compelled all the time to have extramarital relationships, is the term I would use in this case. What he would find that he would be attracted to women outside of the marriage, and all he wanted from them was comfort. Now, he had a very attractive wife, very happy family life, but he was drawn to these women, and all he wanted was for them to hold him in their arms and comfort him. And it would make him feel so good, he said. And if there were ever any occasions when that woman had to cancel because she couldn't make it for some reason, maybe she was delayed at work or something, he said he would cry like a baby. He would cry like a baby. He felt so disappointed that this woman couldn't be there for him. And this didn't happen with one woman. It was like four or five women that this happened with. And then after each one, he'd get back to being quite happy in his marriage again. Anyway, so we did the work. We used Cogno Movement. You know, it's this amazing technique, technology, modality, whatever you want to call it. And what we discovered was that actually, when he was about six or seven, he was separated from his mother. And he didn't get to see her until he was, I think, about 18 years old. And his mother, of course, all these women, they all had a nose pin. And that was the attraction. His wife didn't wear a nose pin. All these women wore nose pins. Anyway, so going back, so he was separated from his mother from a very young age. And we became aware that actually his mother had a nose pin, and that was the attraction. So he was looking to these women for comfort, because he wasn't looking to them for sex. He was not interested in that. He just wanted them to hold him in their arms. And he would feel so comforted and nurtured and loved. That's all he wanted. And he just felt safe and secure and protected in their arms. And if for whatever reason they couldn't make it, he would cry like a baby. So, it was just amazing. I'd never come across anything like that before. And he was so surprised because he was wondering why he was doing this, because he was in a happy marriage. So why is he behaving this way? And it's not that he was going outside for sex, because it wasn't the sex. It wasn't sex. It was just comfort, being held, being cradled in a woman's arms, a woman who had a nose pin, because his
But
mother had a nose pin.
did
Just
he?
a hidden emotion. He had no idea why he was driven to that
No,
particular kind of
idea.
person.
He had no idea why he was doing this. He had no idea why he was doing this. And that's why he came to me. He said, because I cannot understand why I am drawn to do this. He said, I have everything. I've got a thriving business. I've got a happy marriage, a beautiful, intelligent wife, two lovely children. And yet I'm risking all of that by doing this. And I don't know why.
And so in the during the session, the Cogno
Yeah.
movement session, he discovered why. What was that moment like? Did he see it? Did he just have an epiphany? Did he experience it? What was that like?
Well, I asked him to describe what these women were like, first of all. And each time he would say, they don't have nice figures or anything. They're quite plump. They're quite plump and cuddly, is what he'd say. They're quite plump and cuddly. And then I'd ask him to, sort of, and then it came to light when we were talking about his mother. I said, so tell me about your mother. What do you remember about her? And she was of similar type, plump and cuddly. And she had a nose pin. And then he said, and he said, now all these, I realize all these women have nose pins. And that must be why I'm attracted. And it clearly was. That was why. So, I think he just needs to get his wife to wear a nose pin, right?
Right. Well,
And
maybe
put on some weight.
it's a completely different kind of love, your mother and your wife.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is
So,
true, because he was not looking for a sexual love. He
yeah.
was
And
just
so his
looking for
nervous system was
comfort.
reaching for that mother feeling that he had lost.
Yeah.
So you were working in his nervous system, talking to the
Yes.
nervous system, and that's
Absolutely.
where the discovery was made.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what's so lovely about this work, because things come into their awareness whilst you're doing the work. Stuff that's long forgotten, just suddenly things come in. And then wow, so that's why. It's just beautiful.
And so, what happened after that?
Well, after that, I think he must be okay, because I haven't really seen him after that. I had a few sessions with him on various other matters, but he hasn't been back. But it was really a revelation, and I think that would have changed a lot for him.
Think when you're aware of what you're doing, when it's clear, you don't
Yeah.
have the ability to hide it from yourself anymore,
Yeah.
the driver just stops.
Well, also after that, he went to see his mother, and they spent time together, talking about all the missing years and things like that. So it was really good, and I think that he probably wouldn't have done that, gone to see his mother to talk about all these missing years, if we hadn't had this session, because I don't think he realized just how much he had missed her,
Yeah, he was filling the need
being
for his
that he
mother with
wanted to
something
work.
else. That's so interesting. Bill, I
Yeah.
interrupted you. You were going to say something.
Oh, I just, it's just, I'm just absolutely fascinated by, and she had already answered some of these things around the nose pin, but isn't it just so fascinating that the entire thing comes together? Like, why am I doing this? And then to not only, have the realization of that it's around the mother, but it was so precise.
Yeah.
It was a plump, it's a
Yeah.
plump female with
Yeah.
just all the way precisely down to a piece of jewelry in the nose.
If that's what it was.
It's just amazing, that was. And I'm sure the opening of that door to now, have maybe a different communication with his mother. That
Yeah.
was very interesting as well, that meeting happened as well after the fact.
Yes, Bill, and you know, it's really interesting because he was driven subconsciously. He wasn't aware of why he was doing this because he couldn't understand, because he was risking his marriage, he's risking everything by doing this. But he had this subconscious drive to try and find this comfort with somebody who represented his mother, what he was missing.
You know, Sandy, that is an amazing story, but we skipped over having you tell everybody about you, who you are. You are a
Oh,
therapist,
yes.
right? And a cognitive movement practitioner as well.
Yes.
But tell everybody about you and how you came to this work and about the work that you do on a regular basis.
Okay, great. Yes. Well, my background is in psychotherapies, and I've been helping people for the last, well, more than 20 years. I'm trained in helping adults, young people, and children. I do couples therapy, family, so a mixture of things. And all of that informs my practice. And then, so I think it's in my fifth year now of cognitive movement. I came across cognitive movement. I came across Bill on Gaia. And I think it was a simple miracle for something. And I tried it, and it worked. It was amazing. It was mind blowing, and I thought, I've got to look further into this, and that's how I came across it. And I thought, well, it was just initially it was personal development. You know, it really was personal development for me. It was just amazing. I am a completely different person to how I was 5 years ago, really. You know, and now, like with all the work I've done with you guys, and all the trainings I've been on. My default position is one of joy. I can honestly say my default position is one of joy because we've worked on so many things. It doesn't mean to say that I don't get upset, I don't get angry. I do all of those normal stuff, but they pass much faster than they ever would have done before. And I get back to my default position of joy. I'm just joyous. And I love the work, and I love the work. Yes, so started off personal development. And then I started using it on my clients. And of course, having done psychotherapies for the last 20 years and helping clients bring things into their awareness and then giving them coping skills to manage. Because, you know, with traditional psychotherapies and things, you don't, that is it. It comes into your awareness, you understand why you're behaving the way you are behaving, and then we'll give you coping skills when that is triggered off again. But now with cognitive movement, you don't need coping skills. There's no need because, you know, we deal with it at the originating point. So that baggage is not with you. You're not carrying it around with you. There isn't, you don't need coping skills because that's not there. It's not influencing your every thought, your every behavior, your action. It's not there. You're a different person. So, yeah. And that's why I love the work. I really love the work. And I could talk about it all day.
And sometimes we
Of
do.
all people.
Yeah, so, and sometimes we do. Yeah, I mean, these are amazing stories. They're life-changing. And the story on the surface for people listening, it might sound kind of funny, like, yeah, right, he just wants to go be snuggled by, you know, these women. But if you're in therapy, a therapist, and if you are talking to people all the time, you find that there's a pattern of this. That people's reasons for doing what they do are not obvious a lot of times. They're not
No,
obvious
they're not.
until something like this comes up, until the nervous system reveals its secrets. And then it's very obvious. Like, well,
Yes.
of course, you know, the mother looked like this, and you know, the pin in the nose, and he was restricted from that comfort when he lost contact with his mom. And in some way, he's reaching for it again and again. And for
Yes.
people who are experiencing this, in some ways, you feel like you're crazy. Like, why do I keep doing this? This is not good for me, but I'm driven to do it. And so the relief in understanding, oh, that
Absolutely.
was just a pattern from my brain to my body that was trying to recreate something again and again. It's not really my mind, you know, I'm really not losing it. It's a pattern. And once you realize that that pattern can be collapsed very quickly,
Yeah.
and then you have control of your mind again, control of your body and your actions, it's an amazing, amazing sensation.
Absolutely. And we worked on the loss of the mother. You know, we cleared that from your system so that he was able to then go and reach out to her and talk about stuff, which probably he couldn't have done before.
They were just estranged for all
Yeah,
those
they were
years.
strange. They did not see one another very often. But he said from now on he's going to make a point of seeing her more regularly. She's an old woman now.
And again, that seems like an obvious answer, except for it wasn't to him. It wasn't
No.
obvious to reach out and just reconnect with his mom. He was making these, side connections.
That's
So
it.
that has to be amazing for him to have control over that part of his life again. And the
That is
push to,
exactly what it is. He's
yeah.
got control over it now. And he
Yeah.
knows he doesn't have to go outside to find all of this. He actually has his mother that he can connect with.
Yeah, to reveal what he was actually looking for.
Absolutely.
And he would have never found it really
No, he
with
wouldn't
those
have found
women.
it.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't have found it.
Super interesting. All right, everyone, we are at our first break. And if you are interested in having a breakthrough like Sandy's client, you can reach out to Sandy. You can find her on the Cogno Movement website at Find a Practitioner, or at the end, we will definitely give you her contact information. Or if you're interested in doing this for yourself, if you're in the US, you can find the Essentials program at cognomovement.com/essentials. Now let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network.
The station that makes you feel good. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We are talking to an amazing therapist and cognitive movement practitioner out of Kingston, London, area of London, about some amazing breakthrough stories. And you had a fun story, Sandy, about mice.
Oh,
Can you
yes.
tell that one?
Yes. Yes, I had kind of like an emergency session with a client. This client is a mother with two young children. One is a baby in arms and her husband. And this was on a Saturday. I had this call saying, could I please see her? So I did. And what had happened 2 days prior to that was that they had found mice in their home. And she's petrified of mice. So for the last two nights, they'd been staying in a hotel at great expense. She and her two children. The husband was staying with family because she could not stay in the house. She was just terrified, absolutely terrified. She'd seen a mouse and she just screamed, and her husband had to come back from work and she couldn't stay there. They just had to check her into a hotel. So that was, you know, that was really not something that was sustainable for one thing, because they did have to go back home. So we had our session together and we worked on her fear of mice. And how it startled her, and what, you know, what it did, and how she saw it, and what it represented to her, and for her it was dirt, it was, you know, unclean, all of that. And she's got this young baby, so she doesn't want anything that's unclean near the young baby. So we worked the session, and then she was able to go home that very night. That very night she was able to go home. When she left, her fear had subsided, so it was no longer in her body. You know how we gauge it on a scale of 1 to 10 with it being in the body. We did a lot of work. I've got to say, we did a lot of intense work in that at that time, and that had subsided. So she went home with her two children and the husband, and I had a call with her the next day, and she said to me, you know, she said, the mice are still here. She said, it's not that they've gone. The mice are still here, she said, and I've seen one, she said, but I'm not in a state of panic about it. I'm looking at it from afar and I'm thinking, okay, you know, okay, well, you can stay where you are and I'm fine where I am. Just as opposed to how she was when she first discovered the mice, she said, you know, she had to get up and take her feet up and put them on the sofa. She couldn't bear to have anything at floor level. She was so, so scared. But she found that, yeah. When she went back the next day, when I spoke with her, she said, yeah, she said, they're still there. I can see, I saw one. She said, I saw it out of the corner of my eye. She said, but it didn't panic me like it did before. She said, it didn't panic me. And I just think, okay, so it's there. It's okay. I don't want to touch it, she said. I don't want to touch it, but it's all right. It can be there. You know, we will deal with it. So that was amazing. You know, that meant that the family could be together again. She could go back to her home, to the comforts and everything that's in place for that new baby and the toddler that she had. I think that was just, that was amazing. That was amazing how that happened in that one session. And she, yeah, she was blown away. And so she's going to come back to me for other stuff. Yes. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing that, you had no change in the situation,
no.
But she was able fully to deal with this part of her life and, you know, made time for her to, you know, get a exterminator or mouse traps or whatever is needed, but still carry on with life.
Yeah. Because if you imagine, she was petrified of mice before, absolutely petrified of mice.
Yeah.
And then it was okay, fine. You know, the mouse can be there. She doesn't want to touch it, but it's okay. So yeah. Right. She can tolerate it.
Share with everybody, how did you do that? How did you do it in one session where she was terrified and now she's not terrified? What happened?
Okay. So what we did was we did a standard cognitive movement session. Got her to focus on that sensation of fear, of terror, of panic in her body. And we worked through the session, calming down her limbic system about this fear. So then it was no longer represented as this terror in her chemical body, so to speak. Yeah. Let both hemispheres of her brain see what was going on. So it was no longer stuck in the stress brain, so to speak. And so she got more of a balanced view as well. So we worked through her emotional body, through the emotional part of her brain, the kinesthetic part, through to the analytical, the logical part of it, and then up to ideas and inspirations, you know. Would you be okay if there was a mouse in the house kind of thing, you know? And she got to that part where, well, it's okay. You know, I don't want them. I don't want to touch them, but I'm not going to freak out, not panicking. I'm okay. And that was, I used a standard Cogno session on it.
You know, when you're afraid of something like spiders, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just an automatic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who look at a spider and they're interested in spiders, so they lean in. But another person takes one look and their body goes into full fight or flight. You really can't help it.
Yeah.
But for an example of this, my husband is a hunter. He's, you know, been out with bears and cougars and all this kind of thing. But take a look at one mouse and he runs screaming. Like he just, and he's a big person. I'm like, that is a tiny mouse. One time early in when we moved into this house, so, you know, nearly 25 years ago, there was a mouse in our room and it ran into a connecting door to a bathroom. He shut the door and let it chew through the floor all night long rather than, I mean, you just can't help it until you can.
Yeah. So have you helped him?
No, he won't let me do it. But he has no interest, but which is funny. But, you know, in this case, to be able to let the nervous system see what it truly is, it's a tiny little thing, probably can't really hurt you.
Yeah.
But before that, it's a monster the size of a building.
Absolutely.
Irrational, not rational.
That is it. Irrational fear. Yes. That mouse couldn't do her any harm, but she was terrified of mice.
Interesting. And in her case, you didn't find the reason, you just turned down the fear.
No, didn't find a reason, just turned down the fear.
Interesting.
Yes. Now, Sandra, you had mentioned you said, oh, I was in the, you know, these different parts of the, you know, the body or an ideas and inspiration. What do you mean by that for the audience? What do you mean by all of that?
Oh, okay, fine. Well, in cognitive movement, what we do is we use eye movements and body movements. So what we do is every eye position relates to a different place cell in your brain. And with cross-body movements, what happens is that you are passing information from one hemisphere of your brain to the other hemisphere of your brain. Often when we're in a state of fear, our fear tends to be sort of left brain. But what we do is with cognitive movement is whilst we're focusing on that problem, we are actually doing cross-body movements. So we're passing information from one hemisphere of the brain to the other. And each bit of the brain has got a different opinion about the same subject. So what happens is you end up having a balanced opinion as opposed to this one of fear. And I think what happens also chemically within your body, when something is represented as fear, you're in a state of stress, you're emitting adrenaline and cortisol. And when you start getting more of a balanced view, you start producing better feel-good hormones like serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, and things like that. And if you're really stressed and you're up here with this adrenaline and cortisol, when you start introducing this other bit where you get serotonin and oxytocin and dopamine and things like that, it brings it down into a state of balance. So you're no longer in this heightened state of fear. It's kind of like your whole system gets into balance. So your limbic system calms down. It realizes it's actually not a threat because now the other bit of your brain has come on board and realizes actually that is irrational or whatever. Yeah, the analytical, logical part of the brain comes on board. And so then that is no longer represented in your energy system as a stressful state because the chemical balance is different now. And we're all, you know, electromagnetic, hormonal, chemical beings.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's that signal between the brain and the body. And most people think it starts in the brain, but it really is that sensation. If you think about being afraid, whatever your phobia is, the instant your eyes see that, there's a feeling in your body and it turns on that run. Let's get the heck out of here. The fight, flight, you're screaming before you know it. Yeah. And if your logical mind was really in control of that, you'd be like, okay, that is a being much, much smaller than I am. I can just slowly back away or step on it, whatever, right? It's that feeling state that takes over the driver, like we talked about with the man and the nose pin.
Yeah.
Feeling drives you. And then this allows that feeling to go to neutral and for your logical mind to really get the chance to take over.
That's it.
Yeah. You kind of step into reality, I think.
Yeah. You step into the now, right? As opposed to your past.
Yeah. It's a bit of a
past informing your present and your future. Yeah.
Yeah, the before that it's a skewed reality, really. And then you step into the reality of now, or reality. So before we have to take our next break, let's hear one more story. You talked about a person who was really actually talented at sports, but would never actually win. Tell us what that was about.
Okay, so this is a housewife, the mother of three children, and she started playing beach tennis. All through her childhood, she was told that she's no good at anything. She'll never amount to anything. She could never be good at anything at all. And this all came out in our session together. Anyway, she said to me, she said, "I really train hard and I do put in all the effort needed, all the work, all the practice," she said. "But just when it comes to me about to win, something in me says, no, this is not for you. You're not a winner. You're no good at anything. You'll never be the best at anything." And she said she self-sabotages every time. She said she's so close. And then suddenly this thing comes over her that says, no, this is not for you. You're no good. You'll never be good at anything. And she never makes it. And she said, "I can't understand why, because I am physically fit. I practice. I'm really ready for it. I'm in the right mental space for it until I'm just about to close it. And then this thing comes over me that says, no, not for you. You're no good. You'll never be good at anything." And so we did the work. And then it took her back to her childhood, where the teachers all said that. "You're no good. You'll never be good at anything. You're not putting enough effort into anything." Everyone said, "You'll never be good at anything. You're just no good. You're just no good." And so she grew up believing that she could never succeed at anything. "You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to be best at anything." So we worked through that. And then after that, it gave her the freedom. After that, she was able to go past that and she was able to win. So she said to me, "God, it's such an amazing sense of freedom. And I never realized that's what it was." And she would never have been able to reach it herself by herself. Yeah. But with cognitive movement, we were able to get to that place and change what was in her subconscious mind. So it gave her the freedom, the permission to do whatever she wanted to do, be the best she could be if she wanted to be at sport or whatever else.
And so this was a single session or a series of sessions?
No, this one particular one was like a double session, so it would have been 100 minutes. So it was like she had now had the permission to be whoever she wanted to be. She was no longer fighting against what was in her subconscious mind of, "You'll never be any good. You'll never make it," you know?
Yeah.
We cleared that, and then it was like freedom. She said it was just amazing. She said, "God," she said, "I aced it at beach tennis." She was thrilled. And now she plays regularly and she wins and she's okay. She doesn't win every game, but she does win.
She allows herself to win. The interesting thing is, many people would spend years and years and years in therapy trying to figure that out. And in 100 minutes, you guys cleared that pattern out of her body, the thing that didn't allow the governor. We were talking about a driver in another case, but this is really the governor that's put on the body that limits you, that holds you back. And you were able to remove that so that she could just be amazing at beach tennis.
That's it. And she's loving it. She's loving it,
Wonderful.
absolutely loving it.
Wonderful. All right, everybody, we are ready to take our next break. If you want to work with Sandy, you can reach her at becomingyourbestself.co.uk. And if you're interested in doing this for yourself, you can find that at cognomovement.com/essentials. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio. And when we come back, we've got a couple more great stories.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
All right, we are back. These are some amazing stories, don't you think, Bill?
Oh my gosh. It's just like one after the next. You know, Sandra is just so talented. She's a natural at this whole cognitive movement modality. And she's we're just the tip of the iceberg. You know, we could go on for a week with all the stories she has. The one that I really want to hear is this one around money. Like there was a woman who basically all her life had been in poverty. And tell us about that woman.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. But talking about great stories, I think, in all honesty, I think probably every cognitive movement practitioner can tell great stories because that is just the nature of the work. So yeah. We're just hearing some of my stories today. But yeah. So this client of mine, very talented singer-songwriter, and she should be making lots of money. You know, she should be rewarded for the work she does because she's very good at what she does. But somehow she's been living a hand-to-mouth existence. She's like in her 50s now, still doing the work. She loves what she does. She really loves what she does, and she's good at what she does. But never having any money, always a hand-to-mouth existence financially. And she said to me, I can't understand this. Why is it? You know, I never seem to have any money. So I said, well, okay, let's do the session. So we did the session. And what came out was that the only people who had money, who she called, were her rich aunt and uncle. And they were not nice people at all. They were mean. They were not kind. And so in their little family, her and her parents and siblings, they came to the conclusion that rich people are not nice people. They're unkind people. You don't want to be a rich person because that's what being rich represents, someone who's unkind, who's not a nice person. And we're not people like that. We're nice, kind people. And so she had this block about money coming towards her because if she got money, then she might pass herself as rich. That would put her in the same category as her aunt and uncle, who are really not nice people. They're mean people. And so we cleared that with Cogno. And the interesting thing was, it was really interesting for her because she, well, for me as well, she had no idea where this was going. And this came up, you know, as it does, it came up. And she said, wow. And so since then, she phoned me the next day. And she said to me, you know, she said, little bits of money are coming in. So it wasn't big bits of money, but suddenly money started trickling into her life from unexpected places. Over the weeks that followed, money started coming in. None of it was huge money, but it kind of like it now gave permission for money to come in. It was all right for money to come in. And she said it was coming in from the most unexpected places. And it kind of like opened the door, but it's okay. It's okay to have money. It's okay. You don't have to be mean and nasty. You know, that maybe that was her aunt and uncle, but she doesn't have to be mean and nasty. And it's okay to enjoy having money coming into her life. So that was a real eye-opener for her and a door opener as well. A door opener to financial, maybe not abundance, but money coming in, trickling in, money flowing, starting to flow into her life, which it wasn't doing before. So that was lovely. And you know, she seems to be now, she seems to be, she doesn't talk about lack of money now. So I guess it's probably coming in from many other areas too. Yeah.
That's one of those strange things that happen, is that once you clear something like this, again, something that governed her, that limited her,
Yeah.
once you clear that something out, it seems like the universe recognizes, oh, that's gone now. So let's give them this thing that they're looking for. You know, let's, it just flows right in. We really have so much more influence over our surroundings, over what happens on the planet and in our own lives than we really think. And so once one of these things is removed, these big patterns out of the body, things start to flow. The world looks different. It's a different reality, like we were saying
That's right.
before.
Yeah, because it was in the belief system that rich people are mean, nasty people.
And I don't want to be
Once we
that.
cleared that, I don't want to be that. Nope.
Yeah, super
Once we cleared
interesting.
that, it was okay. Gave permission for me to start flowing.
You know, there's something else that Cogna Movement does. And it's one of those things that's relatively simple in terms of how the work is, how, you know, applying the session for a person. And it has to do with cravings. But this one sounded serious, important. It was about alcohol.
Oh yeah. I had a client who wanted to give up alcohol. Every day at 5 o'clock after work, it was like at the end of the day, working day, she'd drink alcohol. So she'd drink alcohol from that time until the time she went to bed. So however many hours that could be. That was, the whole evening was spent drinking alcohol. There was no limit. There was no limit. It was just one drink after another until bedtime. And then she'd fall asleep. Oh, and she wanted to give up alcohol because she knew she was depend, you know, it was like a dependency. It was something, it was a habit. It was a habit that she'd been doing most of her life. Well, adult life, actually, all her adult life, because this started off in her teenagehood. Anyway, we did the work, and what came to light was that she came from a very unhappy background, a very unhappy home. She had a very controlling mother, and there was no escape in the house. There was no kindness, there was no love. And she found escape in a group of these friends, and they would meet and they would all use alcohol as escapism. And they'd have a wonderful time. She found that she had a sense of belonging being with them. She was part of almost like a family. They cared about her, you know, they liked to spend time with her. And that became her way of being. And so she realized that actually, this switching off time at 5 o'clock and just drinking, it took her back to that time when she was with these people who cared about her, who wanted to spend time with her, who were kind of like loving her the way she was, whereas her home life was very different. And so she wanted to give up alcohol. So we did the session, and I think it was January. It was cravings, you know, it was New Year resolution thing. It was a New Year resolution thing. So she did that, but she and then after about a month, so she gave up alcohol. She just didn't like the taste of it. She didn't, you know, when she tried tasting it, it doesn't didn't taste nice, which is what happens often when you do these craving sets. And she was not interested in it. And then after about a month, she said that she thought, well, you know, I feel in some ways I'm missing out on things, certain socializing with certain people. And so she thought, okay, I'm going to try having some alcohol. And what she found was that it didn't taste the same anymore for a start. But she was very aware of what she was drinking, and she was able to limit it. She was able to limit it to two drinks as opposed to all night drinking. And she'd know that two drinks was enough. Her body felt like that was enough. And so she realized you could still socialize with those people that she used to socialize with, but she didn't have to drink all night. She could have two drinks and her body felt, okay, that's fine. That's enough for us. And, you know, you can have something softer after that. So her social life wasn't impacted by not having the alcohol. And so she was able to moderate. So she was able to drink socially, which is great, what we all want, generally want to do, isn't it? Not do anything in excess, but be social about it. And so it was great. It was kind of like then she got a handle on alcohol. It was not handling her as it was previously. You know, she was in control of it. She could choose to have it or not. And some days she chose not to have it. And the day she did choose to have it, she could control how much she took in, how much her body actually told her that's enough. It wasn't like her willpower. It wasn't willpower saying, oh, no, I've had to, no more. It wasn't that. Her body just said, that's enough. So, yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, the craving set is absolutely wonderful and it can be used for anything that you're craving.
This is very similar, Bill, isn't it, to what we were talking about in our training this week about cigarettes are similar to this.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing. And the detail of this, kind of the secret that we figured out is that there's your experience of taking in whatever it might be, whether it's smoking or ice cream or French fries or could be anything, there's typically a really positive experience. You know, you told two different stories. One of them was a woman with a nose ring that was plump, and the positive experience of being cuddled. That was his mother cuddling him with a nose ring, being plump and cuddling. And then you told another story about, you know, being, and that other story was around being accepted, being loved again,
and
then having a drink. So what happens here, and we've seen this across, really doesn't matter whether it's popcorn, alcohol, smoking, anything out there, there's some sort of feeling that's really good. Being loved, being accepted, being part of something, having someone have compassion for you, whatever might be the case, you know, but it's some really good positive connection. And we don't even realize it's happening when it's happening initially. And then we spend our lives, you know, out there trying to get it, trying to somehow get that feeling back. And so, and we will risk things, like we will risk our entire life.
Yeah.
You know, the gentleman who had the five different extramarital affairs, that probably wouldn't go over so good. You know, that's not going to work out, but he is compelled.
You know,
compelled. And the alcohol, you know, all night, that's really tough on the body, you know, and that has to affect many aspects of life, but compelled, you know. So that compulsion, same thing with cigarettes or, you know, you name it. But it's just fascinating how it plays itself out. And probably even more fascinating is, you know, the work of unconnecting those feelings from whatever that stimulus is, alcohol, popcorn, cigarettes, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, you guys, we have come to the end of this episode. This has been so much fun. What a wild ride being with you through these stories, Sandy. Would you tell everybody how they can reach you and how they can work with you worldwide, please?
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Liz and Bill. Yes, so I work with clients worldwide, internationally. On Zoom is what I generally do. My practice is actually based in Harley Street, which is where I've been based for the last 15 years. That's where my clinic is, in Harley Street in London. But you can have a look at my website, which is www.becomingyourbestself.co.uk. And that really is what it is, becoming your best self. Because when you work with me, we can get you closer and closer and closer to becoming the best version of you by using techniques like Cogna Movement. And you'll also find me on the cognamovement.com website under practitioners. And feel free to reach out to me. I offer people free 20-minute discovery calls. So if you just want to have a chat, just tell me what's going on for you. If you're curious, I'm happy to speak with you. And I'd love to hear from you. So thank you.
And we really couldn't recommend Sandy more. She is such a lovely human and a wonderful practitioner. So reach out to her if you're in need of some help or just want some transformation, just want to spruce some things up. All right. Thanks for being here with us today, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandy, for being here today with us, and Liz for being here today. Love it. This was awesome. More to come. We want to have you back again, Sandy.
Thank you, Bill and Liz. I'm ever so grateful to you for what you've done, bringing Cogni Movement to us. It's just transformative. It just transforms people's lives.
Ah,
A real
wonderful.
blessing. Thank you so much. I'm
Yeah,
grateful.
thank
Thank
you.
you for having me on today.
What a love fest. All right, you guys out there in UK Health Radio land, until next time, be safe and be well.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.